We've been doing giving away our Easter offering for 29 years, and as of last year, we have given away $1.3 million to care for the poor. Yeah, $1.3 million. And that's been used to fund different foreign ministries, local ministries, but caring for the poor has been the primary focus of that. So this year we have three foreign ministries we are working with. We've been talking about them throughout the year. We'll talk a little bit more about them over the next couple of weeks, but you can see them up on the screen. Our Brazil mission, we're working with a missionary on the Amazon River, and he is distributing water filters, and we started last year. We're able to do 169 filters that have been distributed since last year. If you want to designate your Easter offering, you can designate it toward a water filter at $195 for the water filter. There's also the Haiti feed a child for a year, and we talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago with Steve Fitter and Scott Thompson, and how for $180 that will feed a child for an entire year. And it's really been great to watch that develop into the nutrition center. And then there's the Brazil water filter, and that's the Brazilian missionary, and actually we'll be Skyping him on a Sunday morning in about 3 or 4 weeks, so you get a chance to hear him. And if you haven't had a chance to get to meet him, he'll be a live talk. But anyway, he's a great guy, doing a great job. And then the last one is the Vietnam mission trip. This will be our 10th year that we've used to spend like $75 to buy a wheelchair, but through some work of our mission team, they've been able to get the price down to $50. Think about this, $50, you buy a wheelchair and totally change a person's life. So in the past 10 years, we've done 5,700 and something wheelchairs. I'm praying that we break the 6,000 mark this year. And so, be praying about the Easter offering. It is a big deal. We give the entire offering away, every bit of it. And we've been averaging, I just did a little average over the last 29 years, somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000, that Easter offering. Some years it's been as high as 70, some years low as 35. But I'm just asking you, pray. And I think it's 425. You can do all three of those. For 425, you can buy a wheelchair, a water filter, and feed a child. And here's what I'll tell you. I have been to all three of these missionary programs. They are legit. There's nothing going on where it's wasteful. These people are truly, truly making a difference. They are loving people with action that changes their lives with stuff they really need, the wheelchairs, the food, and the water filters, and they're doing it in Jesus' name, preaching the gospel. So really great program. Be praying about it. Easter's coming up, and give a good offering, and buy one of each or buy two of each, whatever you can handle. Amen? So in light of that, our Vietnam team just got back. They delivered our chairs that we bought last year, and they just got back this past week. So if our Vietnam team could come up front, right up front here, I'll get the microphone. I'm going to take a few minutes. Now, these are real rock stars right here. We're talking rock stars. Yeah, we're missing one, Linda. She's with her sister. I talked to her yesterday. She couldn't make it back. But I'm going to start with Henry. So we're going to kind of go through, ask each of you a question all the way through, and then we'll ask you another question. And if you go too long, then that'll be it. Yeah. I'll get behind them, and when I put my hand over them, what you do, you start clapping. That's how the Vineyard Movement, they say the guy gets 10 minutes, and he starts talking, and there's a timer on the screen, and when the 10 minutes go, they tell everybody, just start clapping. All right, let's start with you, Henry. So how many years have you been going on this trip?
We figured it out. It's been 10 years.
10 years.
This was a 10th.
Why? Why do you do this?
Well, I'm still figuring that out.
I
think what's driving us, and Yvonne, I've always thought about this, we're changing lives, and when you can change lives, you're going to hang out with this group, whatever it is, so that's
it's
it.
It's making
that's,
an impact.
That's simple,
it
man.
It really is, yeah.
Make an impact, change a life.
I so admire you folks, because I did the trip twice, and It took me over a week to recover that time change. I know Bob was saying he's waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning, yeah. But Henry, it is awesome. It's an awesome trip. I have the slides in an order. Mike, step up here, because I'm going to ask you the second question. So Mike, how long have you been going? How many trips have you been on?
This was my fifth trip.
Fifth trip. And why do you keep going?
I keep going because, I mean, it's one thing to give your money, but it's another thing to see how your money is changing people's lives.
Yeah, man. We'll talk about this picture. What is this about?
All right. So I had an awesome experience this year. And I have a friend that I made 2 years ago. Her name is Tom. And we made arrangements to meet at the hotel so that, you know, I haven't seen her in 2 years and whatnot. She said, can I bring my friends with me? And I said, sure, bring your friends. And so she came with three of her friends. And I had been sitting there with a new young man to the trip. His name is Vaughn, and he is serving as our interpreter. And it was just really great to have him, but that's an aside. We'll get on that later. I was sitting there talking with Vaughn about the things of God and whatnot, and up comes my friend and her friends. And, you know, we did the initial greeting, who are you and how are you and all that fun stuff. But I felt compelled to tell them my story, and my story being my testimony and where I came from. You know, this young lady that's in the picture comes from a Catholic background, which is interesting enough, just coming from Vietnam. But I felt compelled to tell them because my story includes a summary like this. I had the head knowledge of Jesus. I knew all kinds of things about Jesus, but I just didn't know it in my heart. You know, I didn't feel the life of God within me because I hadn't made it real. And I told this story, and, you know, Vaughn helped me out as interpretation was needed because these young people also spoke English. And I asked Vaughn to share his testimony because it's similar. He talks about, you know, having an emptiness inside and whatnot, and he was able to tell them. I wanted him to tell them in English so that I could follow along with what's going on. And when Vaughn got to the point in his story about telling of this man who had him pray a prayer, this young lady said, I would like to pray that prayer. And so I got to participate in a new soul coming into the kingdom of God. What's unique about this experience is this. God is always at work around you. He's always doing stuff. And if you would just slow down, take a breath, and take a look and see where God might be doing something around you, you can join him in his work. I mean, this situation could have gone completely different. I could have just talked about, oh, well, how are you and what do you do and blah, 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 and just could have completely missed it and missed the timing of God.
Beautiful story.
Awesome.
Beautiful story. Bob, there's a picture up there, and you were telling me about the gentleman in the picture. Let's see. First of all, that's Bob and Jenny putting chairs together. Yeah, so first of all, Bob, Jenny, how many trips have you guys made?
We're with Henry. We've made all the trips.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
We think it's been 10 years.
Wow.
But
yeah. Yeah. You are getting back to sleep in some
kind of... Pastor asked me about the sleep. Actually, right now it's 11 o'clock at night on Sunday.
Oh,
so, you know, I hope I can make it through this.
You're going to make it, Bob. All right. Tell us the story of this picture here with Pastor Vu. Pull it up here.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Here we go. This is Jenny. Okay, back up. Okay, there it is.
Okay,
tell us that story, yeah.
This man, it was at one of the services in the south of Vietnam. And Jen gave a message. Each day, somebody else gets to go up and Vu interprets, and we tell them that we've come from America. Our church is sending these wheelchairs with Jesus in their heart. We're there to give love. And this man, after Jen got done and Vu got done preaching, he stood up and he says, because You gave this chair to my mother. I want to give my life to Jesus. We got to lead him to the Lord, and not only that, he said he was going home and bring his whole family to know Jesus.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Bob. Yeah. Man.
Wonderful.
Wow. That is good. Jenny, so if they can find that picture back. Yeah, one more, go back. Yep. Right. So, Jenny, you posted this on Facebook, and it just tugged at my heart. You know this guy sitting on a bench, and it just said, maybe next year. So how does this distribution go? Like, how do people get chairs? Who can get them?
Well, they have to sign up for the Red Cross, through the Red Cross, and then the Red Cross decides who's worthy and who waited the longest and what the need is.
So they can't just show up and say, I want a chair.
No, and, you know, they've done that before, and we've kind of, Pastor Vu has made sure they got one, you know, but they're just, you know, not handing them out unless you're on the list. Mm-hmm. And this guy was just sitting there, and he was tugging at my heart.
Yeah, yeah, you want to get everybody a
chair. And I was like, well, let me just write out a check right now, you know, but yeah. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So.
But maybe next year.
Maybe
right?
next year, maybe and next I was year? Thinking when those people are writing those checks for those wheelchairs, just put in an extra one for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And.
Well, it just shows that it's not a free-for-all. They're planned out. They have to apply. And so it's not like, again, my concern when we do distribute your money and buy your stuff, we're trying to be really, really careful and really efficient. And as much as that tugged at my heart, I just thought to myself, well, see, that just means it's not a free-for-all. You're trying to be really careful and really help the people that really do need help. So.
And Pastor Vu sent his greetings today and wanted me to tell you that in some of the pictures you see well people sitting in chairs, but we went in back into the backwoods and they can't get their loved ones there.
Right.
But he also said that they're getting to hear the gospel because Vu preaches the gospel after every distribution. Mm-hmm. And so these younger people are getting to hear the gospel, and he feels like that they're going to take that back to their families.
Yep. Okay, so just one more for Jenny. Pull up that the glasses. Tell us this. What's going on? We collected glasses here. So real quick, Jenny, what was going on with the glasses this year?
Well, we had a doctor accompany us, and she brought like 600 pair of glasses, and she was examining them and giving, and they had it all laid out with the prescriptions, and so she was giving these people the closest prescription that she had to their need, and we gave over 500.
500 glasses. Way to go. Way to go. All right. Yeah, just get over to Mike here. Mike, so just, I'm going to, if you have questions, you want to talk to them, obviously after the service, they will be happy to talk with you. Also, in August, we will have a Mission Sunday, and we'll kind of like highlight all three missions. And then there'll be a lunch after that service for anybody who's interested. They'll have information. You can ask about the Haiti trip, the Brazil trip, or the Vietnam trip, because then you have to decide somewhere around August, September, October for 2020. But Mike, what would you say to people sitting here and they're thinking, I don't know, I might like to go on that trip. And what would you say to them, Mike?
I would encourage you to not let anything stand in your way. I can tell you, I can attest to you that I've gone on this trip 5 times. And every time I've had an experience with God and I've had something new put into my life because I've gone over there. You know, we go over there to bless the people there, but we come away with more of a blessing. I mean, look at Bob. He's crying. I mean, so don't let anything stand in your way. You know, if you feel an inkling within you that, gosh, I'd really like to go on that trip, that's God talking to you.
Yeah.
And you need to respond. You need to be faithful, because if God is inviting you, he's not inviting everybody. He's inviting you. And if you hear that voice, you need to start taking steps of faith. R-I-S-K is spelled faith, or faith is spelled R-I-S-K. One of those.
Faith is spelled risk, yeah. Okay.
So, you know, you need to take a step out. I remember years ago, Jeannie Kessig, she comes up to me after the service. She goes, I feel like God is telling you that you should go to Vietnam. I'm like, really? Great, thanks.
Somebody else. Tell somebody else.
But I'll tell you what, it's been a great blessing in my life. And don't let money stand in the way.
That's right.
You know, God can make a way. If God is inviting you to go, he's going to provide the resources for you to go.
Amen. You know, one last thing. I know my frustration when I was there is this language barrier. And you know, I tried to learn some words in Vietnamese, and I just totally gave up. But I remember coming home, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, you know, you are bilingual. I was thinking, I'm not really bilingual. I can't speak their language. And he said, no, you're speaking a language that's universal. And that is the language of love, God's love, exemplified by good deeds. And so, you don't have to speak the language. You can go, and God will use you, and you will be bilingual. I promise you, you will be bilingual and plant the seeds. You know, one last thing, Henry mentioned, we don't have a picture of it, maybe we can try and get it, but on the back of these chairs is a sticker that tells them how to be saved. And this is something new we weren't able to do a few years ago, so each year we're kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, but this now they've got a sticker on there that tells them how to be saved. So we truly are planting some seeds for the kingdom of God. So thank you so much, all four of you, and Linda as well, man. You guys are awesome. You can be seated. So there's the three offerings. Again, just encourage you to be in prayer. Man, it's just the thought of changing a person's life for that kind of money is absolutely outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And we'll talk some more about Vietnam over the next couple of weeks, but the needs are real. They're real. But I just thought today, since we're talking about missions, today's St. Patrick's Day. Where's all the green people? All you green people stand up here. Stand up. Let's see all our green people. He got some green. Look at this, man. Woohoo! All right. Well, now, here's the deal. St. Patrick's Day is today. But you know how the world screws things up, and all we think about is go have a beer and get drunk and go crazy. But you know what? I'm pretty convinced that St. Patrick probably, at least in my book, I'm listing him as one of the all-time greatest missionaries ever to live since Jesus Christ. How do you like that? And I challenge you to do a little reading. As a matter of fact, you can read his autobiography written when he was about 70 years old. It's a 10-minute read. It's called St. Patrick's Confessions. And I'm telling you, I read it and I was totally moved. Absolutely incredible. But here's the deal. Here's the story. First of all, he's a real person. And people are supposed to be celebrating what he did. If you're not familiar with what he did, here's a brief story. At 16 years of age, he's living in Britain, and he's on the coast, and the Roman soldiers leave that area, and pirates from Ireland come, and they capture him and a number of other people, take him to Ireland as slaves. At 16 years old, he spent 6 years as a slave. During those 6 years, he was converted. He committed his life to Christ. He was similar to like what Mike was just talking about. He had head knowledge as a young boy about Christianity, but he was far from walking the walk. He was not a Christian at all. Converted in slavery during those 6 years. He escapes after 6 years, gets back home, and while he's home, he has a dream, and in the dream, the people of Ireland are saying, "Holy boy, come back and preach to us. Holy boy, come back and preach to us." And he's so moved by this that he decides he's going to go back to these people who mistreated him, made him a slave, stole him from his family for 6 years. He decides he's going back to preach the gospel. He goes back and spends about 35 years preaching the gospel in Ireland. Ireland at this time, totally pagan country, idol-worshiping, brutal, ungodly country. And he goes there, and in 35 years, he transforms the entire country. He Christianized Ireland in 35, give or take a few years. During that time, 100,000 converts were baptized under his ministry. 100,000 converts. 300 plus churches started. Churches, schools, and orphanages. He completely transformed that country. What an incredible story. So worth celebrating. You know, I just raised my level. I've never read the story of St. Patrick. I've heard bits and pieces of it, and there's lots of, you know, legends about St. Patrick and whether they're true or not. There's debate, like, did he use the shamrock to preach the gospel? Some people say he did, and the shamrock with the three leaves supposed to represent the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Many people believe he actually did use that as an illustration. Some people tell the story whether he drove the snakes out. You know, no one seems to know. But in fact, his missionary zeal is worth celebrating. The man was incredible. 100,000 conversions. Man. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody, all right? I'm going to finish up here with just a quick thought, and it's a passage out of Matthew. If you have your Bibles or your apps, you can open this up, but it's called the Great Commission, and the reason I just want to read this, because we're talking about, you know, mission work, and, you know, where does this mandate come from? And so here you have the very end of Jesus' life, and it's in Matthew 28, and here's Jesus. He's talking to his followers, and he says, Jesus came and spoke to them, this is verse 18, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And he says in verse 19, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So here's my question. I've read this for many, many years, and here's my question. Who did Jesus tell this to? Like, did he tell it to just the 11 apostles? Was this the Great Commission just to the 11 apostles? Was it to a select group of people, like only people who could do this? Like, go and preach the gospel, and you go, well, I have a job. I need to stay home and work. And so maybe, you know what? He was probably just saying this to the apostles, the 11 apostles, and the rich. He definitely wasn't saying it to the poor or the young or the old. Right? No? Okay, he was telling this to people who were well trained, who could do this properly, not the untrained. Who was he telling this to? Help me out. Raise your hand. Who? Us! Us! Followers of Christ. And so you read this, you know, there's this thing like, how am I supposed to do that? You know, is he telling everybody go be a foreign missionary? Well, some people he is. Some people he's telling go and commit full time into the foreign mission. Some people he's telling go do short term mission. But he isn't calling everybody to be a foreign missionary. He isn't calling everybody to do short term missions. But he is calling everyone to go and advance the kingdom. So we are all part of this. And the question is, how do you do it? How do you do it? Well, Paul gives a little bit of an insight, and I'm just going to finish up with this, but it's found in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, and he's talking about the preaching of the gospel, advancing the kingdom. He said, look, some of you plant, some of you water, but God adds the increase. What Paul was saying is, we're all in this together. It's not a one-man show. It's not for the professionals. It wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for the rich. It wasn't just for people who are outgoing. It wasn't for just people who have a special gift in evangelism. This is a call to everybody. And the way Paul expresses it, the way we do it, is we all work together. We all work together. Sometimes you're planting the seed by just being a good witness at work, and somebody else is going to add to that by talking to them, maybe a stranger, maybe another worker. Somebody else is going to call them to a commitment in Christ. But the point is, we all work together. And this is what I think is so great about a church, and this is why I'm so hyped when I think about Easter. This is an opportunity for us to work together. This really happens where we all work together. We're praying. We're reaching out. People come into the church. You hear this so often. They feel something. They feel something. Well, what are they feeling? It's God. They're feeling God. They get touched by the music and the worship. They're touched by the sermon. They're touched by the friendliness. And it's like, oh, see, we're all working together here. And we get to be a part of the kingdom of God. So let me just encourage you. You know, we are all called to be missionaries. Everybody's called to be missionaries. We're not all called to do it the same way. We don't do it by ourselves. We work together as a team. But I, you know, this is called the Great Commission, and it is a command. Jesus said, go do this. But I just can't help but say, I read it a little differently. I see it as a command, but I see it more as an invite. I feel invited by Jesus, where he's saying, I want you to be on my team and help me advance my kingdom. And I don't know about you, but being chosen to be on a team is kind of special. You know, drafts, you hear about the drafts, football, basketball, baseball drafts. Being picked by God to be on his team to say, would you help me advance my kingdom? And I'm going, I'll do it, God. I'm going to do my part. And I'm asking you, do your part. The wonderful thing about this is it gives value to your life. I mean, there's just nothing more fulfilling than to know you got to be a part of somebody's journey toward Christ. I mean, that is rich. That is just awesome. And so, anyway, I just want to encourage you. We're all called to be missions. This is coming up over Easter. And be in prayer. Be in prayer. Be on the lookout. Like Michael was saying, you know, just, it could have just as easily, he could have just as easily talked with those people and talked about the weather and the food and everything else and missed this little tug at his heart. And he just felt this little tug like, maybe I should talk about Christ. You know, and as a result, young lady got saved. And then here's another thought, because sometimes the enemy just tries to discourage you. Sometimes you think, well, I've invited. The one guy that just came to my mind as we were praying, I've known him now going on 8 years, and I've invited him every year for Easter. And you know what? I'm just going to keep inviting him, because sometimes it takes that invite. And you know what? Even if they only come on Easter, and they don't come again, it's still worth it. It is still worth it. Sometimes it takes some years for people to come once a year, and then twice a year, and then sometimes they get... Is Joe Phillips here this morning? I can't tell if he's here. Yeah, so Joe, am I telling the truth when I say sometimes people come once a year, and then twice a year, and then somehow they get caught, and the Holy Spirit gets them? Is that a true story?
Yes, sir.
Joe will tell you his story, but he was a... once a year, and then a twice a year, and then a four time a year, and the next thing you know, we can't get rid of them. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, first of all, I thank you for this church family, God. It is just, wow. It's an honor to be a part of this church family, and I thank you that we have people who are generous. God, we have people who have an eye looking out who they can reach out to. And I pray, God, you prepare us as a church to continue to advance your kingdom. I thank you that you have invited us to be a part of your mission to advance your kingdom. And I know you've gifted each one of us differently. Help us to use our gifts where we could plant the seed, we could water the seed, we could harvest the seed or watch you harvest the seed. But thank you that we could be a part of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our ushers come up. We'll take our offering. Holy Spirit, thank you. Fear doesn't stand a chance if we stand in your love, God. Drive out all fear, God. Let's come, Holy Spirit. Let's come. Let's come. I just sense in my spirit. Mike Rutgasser, when you were sharing here this morning and when you and I talked the other day, you know, I just get this sense God's, maybe the way I would describe it, Mike, I think sometimes when you do something for God, there's like an afterglow, and it's a season, but I just sense the Holy Spirit woke something up in you about eyes to see. So I just raise your hands, Mike. I just want to bless that right now. Father, I just sense you're doing something special in Michael's life right now. And I don't know if it's a season, Mike, or if it's just a new thing, but I just bless that. I pray you give him eyes to see, God, the needs of people around him, and that he can speak life. He just sees himself speaking life. In Jesus' name, I bless that. I bless that in Jesus' name. Amen, man. Amen. Run with it, Mike. Run with it. One last thing. So when I prayed earlier, as soon as I closed my eyes, I had a picture of a guy I was just telling you I've invited for like 7 or 8 years. I just wondered, did any of you, when I said pray, did any of you see a person's face or a name come to your mind? If you did, just hold your hand up. If you did, if a person, because I want to pray, I'm praying specifically, hold your hand up, I'm going to pray that God truly gives life to this, that the person you saw will respond to your invite. Will respond to that invite. So Holy Spirit of God, every person, raising my hand, Father, every one of us, that you put a picture, a name, a person in our mind, I pray, God, we would have the opportunity, we would look for the opportunity to reach out to this friend, this neighbor, this co-worker, invite them to church, God, that they might encounter you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me know. Just let me know. I'm sure we'll find out. One last thing. Chip felt like he had a word that, you know, when you talk about sharing the gospel, sometimes people feel like I don't really have anything to give. You know, I'm not eloquent or I'm not outgoing. But he really felt like God was saying, if you use what you have, if you share your story, because it's your story. If you would just share what has God done, that he would add to that, he would make it alive. That you have something to give. So I'm just curious, anybody get a sense or just feel like they need a little prayer on that area, just the ability to share their story? If you haven't had a chance to share it at work or with your friends, or just hold your hand up. I'm going to pray for you that God would add to your ability to share your story. Your story. So hold your hand up. Hold your hand up right there. Okay, hold. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I'm just praying for boldness to share your story. Your story. It's your story. God, that you would add life to it. You would silence the lies of the enemy that says they have nothing to offer, but God, that they have their story, what you have done in their life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to wrap it up here.